From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
VOI listener, wherever you are, how are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo invites PNG to learn downstream mineral industry in Indonesia. Indonesia to train 1,000 Papua New Guinea's MSMEs trade minister. Russia foreign affairs minister to attend ASEAN meeting in Indonesia. And now the news in details. President Joko Widodo said Indonesia welcomes Papua New Guinea PNG's interest in studying Indonesia's steps in downstream the mineral product industry. For this reason, President Joko Widodo has invited Papua New Guinea to see the downstream industry in Morowali and Weda Bay for nickel commodities, in Gresik for copper, and Bintan for bauxite commodities. This was stated by President Joko Widodo after inspecting the corn food barn in Kurom Regency, Papua on Thursday.
Sama Indonesia dengan PNG itu.
Indonesia and PNG have abundant minerals, but PNG wants to see the result of nickel stocks in Indonesia, providing a very large added value up to 30 times. So, PNG wants to see what the steps are like and Indonesia is open up to it. The president explained that the cooperation between the two countries is important for mutual progress, especially for southern countries, so that the relationship between Indonesia and Papua New Guinea will get better in the future. This good relationship will be realized in various concrete activities, such as the creation of economic zones on the border, because of the potential for large trade values. The next news. Indonesia Trade Minister Zulkifli Hasan stated that the Indonesia will provide training for 1,000 micro, small and medium enterprises in Papua New Guinea products to enable them to export their products. Hasan noted that assistance for Papua New Guinea MSMEs was agreed upon during President Joko Widodo's visit on the country on Wednesday. Minister Hasan stated in Jakarta on Thursday, as Indonesia and Papua New Guinea have several similarities, bilateral cooperation should be intensified to ensure natural wealth in the two countries can be utilized for the best interest of the people. Hasan noted that as Indonesia is successful in developing its electricity infrastructure, it can also help Papua New Guinea in the sector. The next news. Indonesia Minister of Trade Zulkifli Hasan responded to IMF's recommendation for Indonesia to lift the export ban on raw minerals, including nickel. According to the minister, the export ban is crucial to Indonesia's resource-based industrial plant. However, Zulkifli refrained from explaining the government move to respond IMF's recommendation, whether they will eventually phase out the export ban. IMF also recommended Indonesia stop expanding the ban to other commodities. IMF welcomed Indonesia's ambition to increase its export values, inviting foreign direct investment, and facilitating the transfer of knowledge and technology. However, IMF assessed that Indonesia should also consider its policy's impact on other regions. Meanwhile, Zulkifli argued that the export ban on nickel is an appropriate policy by President Jokowi since it will greatly benefit Indonesians. The next news. Russia's Minister of Foreign Affairs Sergei Lavrov is set to visit Jakarta on July 13 until 14 to attend an ASEAN meeting, an East ASEAN summit, and a regional security forum. The visit is objected to promoting Russia's interest in the Asia-Pacific region, said the Ministry of Foreign Affairs spokesperson Maria Zakharova in a media briefing in Moscow as virtually observed by Temple on Thursday, July 6, 2023. Russia is not a member of ASEAN, but is included as one of its speech partners. The ASEAN Foreign Minister meeting invites not only its state member but also its partners, such as Russia and USA. Following a meeting in Labuan Bajo last May, ASEAN will also hold an ASEAN summit in September. The next news. At the request of Indonesia and Sri Lanka, the Netherlands will be returning 472 objects of cultural significance to Indonesia and 6 to Sri Lanka. The objects were wrongfully brought to the Netherlands during the colonial period, acquired under duress or by looting. The decision to return them was made by the Dutch Secretary of State for Culture and Media Gunay Uslu following the recommendation of the Advisory Committee on the Return of Cultural Objects from Colonial Contexts, chaired by Lilian Goncalves Hokangyu. The Dutch committee discussed their findings with the Indonesian Repatriation Committee, which is chaired by former ambassador of Indonesia to the Netherlands, I Gusti Agung Wesaka Puja. This result was achieved thanks to close cooperation between Indonesia and the Netherlands and the expert committees in both countries. The works are currently in the collection of the National Museum of World Cultures and the Rijksmuseum. The next news. King Salman Humanitarian Aid and Relief Center has signed on Thursday a joint cooperation agreement with the Charitable Health Society for Patient Care, also known as NIAH, to implement volunteer programs outside the kingdom. The agreement was signed by the center headquarters in Riyadh by Abdullah bin Abdul Aziz Al Rabiah, advisor to the Royal Court and KS Relief's Supervisor General, and Abdul Rahman bin Abdul Aziz Al Suwailim, chairman of the Board of Directors of NIAH. The agreement is part of KS Relief's relentless efforts to support volunteer programs in many beneficiary countries around the world and boost strategic partnerships with local bodies. And the final news, Saudi and Thailand officials held talks on enhanced cooperation between their countries in efforts to combat corruption and ensure high standards of integrity in public life. It came as Mazen Al-Khamous, president of the Saudi Oversight and Anti-Corruption Authority, also known as NAZAHA, welcomed a delegation led by Prasan Rajakt, president of Thailand's National Anti-Corruption Commission, during the meeting. The participants reviewed initiatives implemented by both NAZAHA and Thai authorities to promote the principles of transparency, crack down on corrupt practices, and guarantee integrity. And that was the news.
Music. Today's commentary is on U.S. Independence Day and mass shootings. A series of mass shootings occurred simultaneously in a number of areas in the United States, both ahead and after the July 4, 2023 Independence Day holiday. These shootings make this year one of the worst related to gun violence in the United States. On the eve of the U.S. Independence Day holiday, mass shooting tragedies occurred in three separate places, Philadelphia, Baltimore, and Fort Worth, Texas, killing 10 people and injuring nearly 40 others. In Fort Worth, a mass shooting after a local festival marking U.S. Independence Day killed 3 people and injured 8. In a mass shooting incident in Philadelphia on Monday night, July the 3rd, 5 people died and 2 others were injured. According to Philadelphia police, the suspect is a 40-year-old man who had an AR-15 semi-automatic rifle and a 9mm handgun. The man was wearing body armor and a ski mask, while the victims aged between 13 to 59 years. Shooting cases in the United States, of course, cannot be separated from the law on gun ownership for civilians guaranteed by the country's constitution, especially through the Second Amendment to the Constitution on December 15, 1971, known as the Bill of Rights. This amendment contains the first 10 changes to the U.S. Constitution that affirm the fundamental rights of its citizens, including the possession of guns. U.S. President Joe Biden condemned the violence and renewed his call for tougher gun laws in America. In a statement released last Tuesday, he said the American nation was once again experiencing a wave of tragic and senseless shootings. Biden called on Republican lawmakers to come to the negotiating table to make meaningful and sensible reforms. However, citing constitutional protections for gun ownership, Republicans in Congress are blocking efforts to significantly reform gun safety laws. They also oppose Biden's desire to ban possession of assault weapons. As long as the pros and cons of legal ownership of weapons by civilians are not resolved, the possibility of shooting victims will continue to occur. According to the Gun Violence Archive, looking at the pace of the first half of this year, mass shooting during the 2023 calendar year will reach 679, or the second highest over the past 9 years. That was commentary.
Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 is coming back. This year, Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 has an essay writing competition about one of Indonesia's 5 super priority tourism destinations: Borobudur, Lake Toba, Likupang, Mandalika, and Labuan Bajo. Choose one destination you are interested in and write an essay about it with a length of 700 to 800 words in Arial 12, then make a recording of it with your own voice and send the essay and the audio to our email voiquiz2023@gmail.com. This essay writing competition is open from April the 10th until August 20th, 2023. The selected winners, one participant for each language services, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The selected winners, one participant for each language service, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11, 2023. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11, 2023. For more information, please visit our website voinews.id and Facebook The Voice of Indonesia. Be prepared, who knows, you become one of the winners. From Indonesia to the world.
Thank you.
We'll start today in history with July the 7th, 1990, the first Indonesian Librarian Day. The background for commemorating Indonesian Librarian Day was the establishment of the Indonesian Librarian Association on July the 7th, 1973, during the Indonesian Librarian Congress on July 5 until 7th, 1973 in Ciawi, Bogor. The head of the National Library of the Republic of Indonesia later inaugurated Indonesian Librarian Day on July the 7th, 1990. Indonesian Librarian Day aims to remind the importance of the librarian profession in Indonesia, which has given the best in the world of literacy, library, and information. Turning to July the 7th, 2005, four suicide bombings in England. July the 7th, 2005 was a dark day for England. On that day, at least, there were four suicide bomb explosions in three subway lines and a bus in London, England. There were 56 people who became victims in the suicide bombing. The four explosions are thought to have been carried out by terrorists and occurred just as the G8 conference opened in Scotland in the afternoon the previous day. Today in history will end with July the 7th, 2009, the first World Chocolate Day. World Chocolate Day, which is celebrated on July the 7th, was celebrated for the first time in 2009. World Chocolate Day marks the first time chocolate entered Europe in 1550. Previously, chocolate, which was processed from cocoa beans, was only available in certain areas, namely Central America. After being discovered by European colonists, chocolate, which was originally only known by the Mayans and Aztecs, was then introduced to various European countries and became a favorite of many. Quoting www.nationalday.com, around 1 billion people from around the world eat chocolate every day. Apart from its delicious taste, chocolate has many health benefits. That was today in history.
Seberapa pantaskah kau untuk ku tunggu? Cukup pindahkah dirimu untuk selalu ku nantikan? Mampukah kau hadir dalam setiap mimpi burukku? Mampukah kita bertahan di saat kita jauh? Seberapa hebat kau untuk ku banggakan? Cukup tangguhkah dirimu untuk selalu ku andalkan? Oh, mampukah kau bertahan dengan hidupku yang kau meyakinkan di saat aku bimbang? Celakanya hanya kaulah yang benar-benar aku tunggu. Hanya kaulah yang benar-benar memahamiku. Kau pergi dan hilang kemanapun kau suka. Celakanya hanya kaulah yang pantas untuk ku banggakan. Hanya kaulah yang sanggup untuk aku andalkan. Dia ketara beri aku selalu. Seberapa hebat kau untuk ku banggakan? Cukup tangguhkah dirimu untuk selalu ku andalkan? Oh, mampukah kau bertahan dengan hidupku yang malang? Oh, sanggupkah kau meyakinkan di saat aku bimbang? Thank you.
You're still listening to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Next segment, we present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
S&P affirmed Indonesia's sovereign credit rating at BBB with stable outlook. Standard and Poor's has affirmed Indonesia's sovereign credit rating at BBB with a stable outlook, as announced on July 4, 2023. According to S&P, key factors that support the affirmation are the economy's sound growth prospects, historically prudent policy, and rapid fiscal consolidation. The stable rating outlook reflects S&P expectation that Indonesia will achieve solid economic growth over the next 2 years, which will support fiscal performance and debt stabilization. In Bank Indonesia's press release on Wednesday, in response to the statement, the governor of Bank Indonesia, Peri Warjio, stated that S&P's rating international stakeholders on Indonesia's sustained macroeconomic stability and medium-term economic prospects amid escalating global risks stemmed from geopolitical tension and the global economic slowdown. This is supported by high policy credibility and the effectiveness of the policy synergy between Bank Indonesia and the government. Going forward, Bank Indonesia will continue to closely monitor global and domestic economic and financial developments, formulate and execute the necessary policy measures to ensure macroeconomic and financial stability and strengthen the synergy with the government to achieve sustainable economic growth. S&P views that the decline in inflationary pressures, coupled with increased government spending ahead of the election, is expected to boost private consumption in the latter half of 2023. These developments could support Indonesia's economic performance amidst challenges stemming from a slowdown in global demand, leading S&P to project a growth rate of 4.8% for Indonesia in 2023. S&P is also confident that ongoing policy reforms along with favorable demographic structures will have a positive impact on Indonesia's economy. This is further reinforced by the implementation of the revised Omnibus Law on Job Creation by the government earlier this year, which is expected to improve the business climate, thereby stimulating investment and potential economic growth. On the external front, S&P views that the improved external balance sheet of Indonesia will help weather normalizing commodity prices. Policies incentivizing higher value-added processing of nickel have helped solidify higher export proceeds. Similar policies for other mineral ores may broaden this trend once the mining industry sets up the required processing capacity. S&P also acknowledged that Indonesia's foreign exchange reserve have quickly recovered this year, following a decline in the second half of 2022, supported by current account surplus and renewed financial account inflows. On the fiscal front, S&P mentioned that rapid fiscal consolidation has reduced Indonesia's deficit to lower than 3% of GDP a year ahead of schedule. The fiscal deficit for the general government was about 2.4% of GDP in 2022, much lower than the 4.7% shortfall in 2021. S&P expects the deficit to decline further to about 2.3% of GDP in 2023 on higher revenue and continued expenditure management, which will gradually reduce the government's debt stock and relieve pressure on its interest burden. However, Indonesia narrows revenue base remains a challenge to Indonesia's rating upgrade going forward. SNP highlighted the important role of Bank Indonesia in supporting the country's ability to sustain economic growth and dampen economic or fiscal shock. SNP views that Bank Indonesia participation in purchasing government bonds has helped the government in managing its borrowing costs as the debt stock rose. SNP also acknowledges that Bank Indonesia has increasingly relied on market-based instruments to implement its monetary policy. SNP previously upgraded the outlook of stable and affirmed the sovereign credit rating of the Republic of Indonesia at BBB as announced on April 27, 2022.
Tinggalkan kekasihmu karena aku jauh lebih baik darinya. Hai gadis, lupakan kekasihmu karena aku lebih layak untuk memelukmu.
Still with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id, RRI Playgo, and also shortwave frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz. Listener, next we present you a program called Indonesian Wonder that presents information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
In today's Indonesian Wonder, Liwa Botanical Garden. Listener, Indonesia has various beautiful botanical garden. One of them is on the island of Sumatra, precisely in Liwa, the capital city of West Lampung Regency, Lampung. Liwa Botanical Garden is part of Bukit Barisan Selatan National Park area. It was built on an area of nearly 87 hectares and inaugurated on December 5, 2017. Liwa Botanical Garden is the only botanical garden on the island of Sumatra. It was built as a center for flora conservation, tourism attraction, education, and research. Liwa Botanical Garden is a place for various collections of rare plants. There is a tiger orchid, which is also known as the giant orchid. This plant has an amazing size and can grow up to 7.5 meters. The Liwa Botanical Garden also has a backwood plant, which is increasingly rare and still grows naturally at Bukit Barisan Selatan National Park area, especially in the Mount Pesagi area. Apart from that, there are also rare plants endemic to the island of Sumatra, such as the giant lotus, or better known as the Rafflesia flower, and the giant corpse flower, or giant suwak. The presence of these rare plants is the main attraction for visitors to the Liwa Botanical Garden. Liwa Botanical Garden has lots of types of nursery plants, including around 98 types of nursery plants, 96 species of orchids, 25 types of plants of the Araceae family, 17 types of plants of the Begoniaceae family, 11 types of plants of the Piperaceae family, 8 types of plant of the Nepenthaceae family, and 1 plant species of the Hoya family. There is also a medicinal garden planted around 106 types of medical plants, as well as 170 types of plants in the collection garden. For you who want to explore and enjoy the beauty of Liwa's various collections, you can also walk on the hundreds of meters of pedestrian paths that have been provided by the manager. And that's Indonesian Wonder.
Thank you for still listening to the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present you Miscellany. VOI listener, to commence July, Krakatau Festival was held in Bandar Lampung on July 7 to the 8, 2023. This festival highlights the culture of Lampung mass through the execution of mass competitions and carnivals. This event is in collaboration with local communities and stakeholders as the main supporters of the Krakatau Festival or KFET. Lampung Tourism and Creative Economy Office is set to prepare around 4,000 masks for the 2023 Krakatau Festival. This is tailored to the event's theme, Maskland Nemui Nyimah, where all visitors and performers will be wearing masks. It is estimated that around 20,000 people will attend the 2023 Krakatau Festival. The head of Lampung Province Tourism and Creative Economy Office, Bobby Irawan, stated, "The office will actively involve the community in the execution of the event to reach out to the community and make this annual festival a community affair. In addition, there will also be a simultaneous making of traditional Lampung food in the form of engkak cakes by local micro, small and medium enterprises and a video making competition with the theme of Mount Krakatau as the icon of this oldest festival in Lampung." At this event, Tourism and Creative Economy Office of Lampung Province will also present Lampung origin artist Kangen Band. There will also be a mass stooping procession followed by a parade of heirloom masks that will be revealed from Lampung Museum and many others. Well, listener, that was Miscellany from Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.
Funny how you thought that was gonna be New York, but I chalkboard walls and slitted floors. Oh, we could have had that and so much more. Ask your new lover what it's like to be given a real fighting chance before you wish your good riddance. Did anything ever really count? Or was that just a 2-year practice round?
Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 is coming back. This year, Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 has an essay writing competition about one of Indonesia's 5 super priority tourism destinations: Borobudur, Lake Toba, Likupang, Mandalika, and Labuan Bajo. Choose one destination you are interested in and write an essay about it with a length of 700 to 800 words in Arial 12, then make a recording of it with your own voice and send the essay and the audio to our email voiquiz2023@gmail.com. This essay writing competition is open from April 10th until August 20th, 2023. The selected winners, one participant for each language services, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The selected winners, one participant for each language service, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11, 2023. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11, 2023. For more information, please visit our website voinews.id and Facebook The Voice of Indonesia. Be prepared. Who knows, you become one of the winners.
From Indonesia to the world.
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Playgo mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz. Listener, the next segment is a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, in today's Music Corner, I'm going to present a regional song from South Sumatra entitled Dek Sangke. The song Dek Sangke reminds us that a lie committed by someone will one day be exposed as well. The South Sumatran folk song teaches that if we are not honest, we will be miserable at the end. The song, originally with a strong Malay rhythm, was then rearranged by an a cappella group called Penta Boys. Here is Penta Boys with the song Dek Sangke.
Thank you.
Of Indonesia.
Now we have come to an end of the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Don't forget to follow us on social media on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, Instagram at voice.of.indonesia, and YouTube channel VOI Indonesia. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you again in another interesting edition of the English service of Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.